Hello, my name is Janardan and I live in San Francisco, United States, and I'm here to talk about this topic of being before doing. I think you'll all agree that we live in an era of extreme productivity. I think all of us, no matter which part of the world we are, especially those of us in the professional world, experience a great pressure for us to be able to do more with our time, give more to our companies and to our professions, and just in terms of our productivity is greatly increased since even the generation of one before us. If you think about the times of our parents when they went to work, and between this and what's expected of us now as a global citizen of this multinational environment where it's really the clock is running 24 hours, there's some part of the world that's awake and waiting to grab a piece of that pie, so to speak, that you are also vying for. So when we live in an era of such great amount of demand for us to just keep going and going and doing, one of the obvious hits that it takes is in the question of conscious productivity. Is the purpose behind why I'm doing what I'm doing, and asking yourself, am I really, really in my awareness of doing the best of what I can do? Do I have time to center myself so I can give the best of my consciousness, my concentration, my attention, my compassion to my colleagues and to the customers, however the case may be? There was a famous quote that I'd like to take from Sun Tzu, the author of this famous book called The Art of War. He said in that the victorious warrior is one who has already won the battle in his mind and then comes onto the battlefield. The defeated warrior seeks to come onto the battlefield and then figures out how to win. I think there's a great amount of wisdom to be understood from that quote. A lot of the battle actually is fought before you actually even step onto the battleground. That is, it's happening in the mind. And I know this for a fact because I used to be a professional or a competitive sailor, sailing boats for a large part of my youth leading into my young adulthood. And it was exactly the same thing. They said if you had about 70 boats in an international competition, the roster or the final finishing positions of these boats has been already decided before they even set sail. That means the battle has already been, the competition has already been either won or lost in each of the competitors' mind. And if you've heard of one of the greatest NBA, the National Basketball Association, the basketball competition that happens in America every year, one of the greatest coaches, Phil Jackson, he will make each one of his players, basketball players, each of which are actually stars. He last coached a team called the LA Lakers, and they are really a collection of stars in their own right. No matter whether they believe in it or not, whether they like it or not, he will make every single player meditate in the changing room before getting onto the field, because it's a very fine line between winning and losing at that level. Everybody has put in the 10,000 hours of practice. Everybody's really competitive. Everybody's really experienced. But the one who can shoot that basket in the middle of that 50,000 fans either booing for you or cheering for you is going to be determined by how much you can be in your zone, how much you really disconnected with the external impetuses and really focused in on your inner treasure, in your practice, your being, right? I mean, you know, when you practice it that much, it becomes second nature to you. You're really embodying that expertise that you're out there to perform at that point in time. And you're not really intellectually discussing and deciding or, you know, even debating in your own mind. So how does one actually do that? How does one be? How do you practice being before getting into the doing? It really comes down to four things. I say that you got to learn to meditate. Now, what does meditation mean? Meditation is really getting in touch with what is really true about yourself, right? So first of all, who am I? What am I here for? What have I come from? And where's that I'm going? And then who do I belong to? So this is the first part of that. So spending time really understanding yourself and getting in peeling off the layers of that who you thought you were based on what other people said, what you were made to believe, the names you were called, either the accolades or the defamation that you were given, etc., etc. The second step is taking 20 minutes every day to actually spend time in this. One is to learn how to meditate, but actually spending time every day, making time every day to shed the external opinions and go into yourself, finding deeper and deeper and zooming in on that thing that you wish to be able to offer to the world. The third thing is asking yourself, what do I want my life to be about? So I'll take an extreme step of that. Imagine if you were giving a eulogy. Right? So when somebody passes away, you go to their funeral and people are giving eulogies. They're talking praise or they're telling people about that person's journey as they have observed it. Imagine if you're giving your own eulogy. Right? So you're talking about yourself while you're still alive, and what would you like your life to be about, right? That is something that is very important for us to ask ourselves. We live in an era of unlimited distractions where somebody out there is trying to tell us all the time about what we should be doing, we should be wanting, we should be buying, what makes us complete in the eyes of the apples of the world or the movie stars or this next new garment that comes out or the next new pair of shoes that's introduced into the market. So this marketing thing is a very, very big mind game that easily puts you into the state of deception that you could spend all your life having lived not for a moment about what your life's about, but really what about what your neighbors wanted or the media wanted or that those marketing gurus, make of you. And the fourth one is, what would you like to make of this world? Right? So how would you like to see this world? And what is your contribution to making that world that you wish to live in? Okay. So I'm going to talk about that fourth part here for just a little bit, because there's so much talk about, wanting to have peace, wanting to have happiness, wanting to have more compassion, more love in the family, and so on and so forth. But really, you got to ask yourself, how am I contributing to actually making that world a better place that I wish to see and I wish to live in and wish to bring, my future generations, etc. And this is where I believe that the being plays a big part into what is going to become of this world. One needs to take time every day to consciously visualize that which we wish to see in this world, right? So imagine that if I see that, I want to bring, more harmony amongst my colleagues, it starts from really within me. And that within me also is not just going to happen when I just go and think about that positively, but if I actually have to prepare for it. When you are in front of your colleagues, when you're in front of your family people, when you're in front of your community, we tend to become creatures of habit. We tend to display the same old patterns every time because something that they say, something that someone does, something that somebody in the way they look at you or so on and so forth is going to trigger something within you which makes you go back into that autopilot mode where you're coming out of that place of habit. The way that one can change that is when you sit down with yourself before the day begins, visualize yourself, see yourself in that scene that you repeatedly get pulled into or that you repeatedly keeps getting played in front of you at your workplace, at your home, in your community. And see yourself doing it differently. See yourself playing that role in a positive way that which you wish to see more of. And the more you visualize that on the screen of your mind, which is going back to the analogy of the basketball player, why does Phil Jackson ask his players to be able to meditate before getting onto that field? Is you see yourself, after all those years of practice, all those baskets you've shooted, you see yourself doing that in the eye of your mind. Subconsciously, you're programming that. Your whole system will play that without you consciously, intellectually, having to process that in front of those people, in front of the community, so on and so forth. Right? So you're almost creating the software, the imagery, for the film to play out the way you want it to play out when the show is on. And I'll take it a step further and say that not only playing that scene and creating that script that which you wish to see, but I also say that this is a time where the world is clearly devoid of positive energy, energy of calm, energy of peace, and I can become an instrument to fill that void in people's life that I am having to deal with on a regular basis, or even people that I don't see, if you know, extending it further. It's really like a drop that falls into a bucket. You can see that it, you know, a small drop creates a little ripple, a bigger drop creates a bigger ripple that will ultimately last. It will vibrate off of the walls of the bucket for a much longer period of time. When I create these thoughts in the morning in the screen of my mind, I'm actually creating those drops, and the more potent they are, so the more concentrated and focused that I make those thoughts, and the more I tune into that universal force, the great spirit, you call it, it's called by many names. When I use that universal energy from the great spirit and I channel it in that sitting, in that visualization session, that what Sun Tzu was talking about, where you have already won the war in your mind, you give force to that subject, whether that's the community, the office, or the workspace, or the home, etc. In that state of powerful rejuvenation, when I'm preparing the field, and then I write my little script of how I wish to see myself playing out, what I wish to see my colleagues or my family playing out, that scenario, then when I actually walk in there, it is already subconsciously programmed, and I walk into it. I almost operate in a state of autopilot at that point, and I'm being the change that I wish to see in this world, like the famous words of Mahatma Gandhi. With that, I'd like to say thank you for taking the time, and I hope you can enjoy more of being and be more productive in the doing and enjoy the whole process. Thank you.